This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Lachish was an important city in ancient Israel. Lachish is mentioned a couple dozen times in the Old Testament. When Jerusalem was the capital of Judah, Lachish was the second most important city. But earlier, when Canaanites lived in Lachish, it was a city-state where archaeology has now shown us that writing flourished to some extent. In our last program, we talked with Michael Hassel, professor of Near Eastern Studies and Archaeology at Southern Adventist University, and Joseph Garfinkel, professor of Biblical Archaeology at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, about an inscription incised in an ivory comb. This comb was found in 2016, and the discovery of the inscription was announced in 2022, the earliest complete sentence in an alphabetical script. The comb and inscription are dated to 1700 BC, but Lachish has yielded more inscriptions than the one on the ivory comb.
If you look at the history of Lachish, you can see that this is really the site which produced more inscriptions than any other Canaanite site in Israel. We already have from the Middle Bronze two inscriptions, and from the Late Bronze around 10. And if you look at other sites, you can have one here or one there. So Lachish really looked like the hub that, I don't know if invented, but adopted and kept this writing from generation to generation. And when Lachish has been destroyed at the time of the Judges, and it was deserted for about 200 years, where do you have inscription in Israel? Near Lachish. We excavated a site called Hirbet al-Rai, 4 or 5 kilometers west of Lachish. And from the time of the Judges, when Lachish was not inhabited at all, we found an inscription, also with Canaanite script. And we have the name Yerubal. And Yerubal is also the name of Gideon. And Hirbet Kayafa. And we have two inscriptions with this type of writing. And Tel Safi, Biblical Gat, they also have one inscription with this type of writing. And you don't have it in the north, not in Megiddo, and not in Hatzor, and not Beit Shan, and not other sites. So you can see that it was really, Lachish was the place that kept the alphabet, and then when Lachish has been destroyed, it spread around Lachish in the beginning, and later continued further away.
So really interesting to see how we really have a kind of a continuity from the ivory comb, which was the earliest one. We have a bunch of them, as Yossi just mentioned, smaller inscriptions, not complete sentences, just a word or a few letters here and there. One of the bowls has more of a sentence, but it's going all the way down, all the way to the Kirbet Kayafa, to the 10th century. We have a very nice, if you will, evolution of the script over time that are found at these different sites. It's just been a privilege, you know, at our sites where we've been working to find this many inscriptions, because sometimes you work for 25 years and you may find nothing, or you may find one or something like that. And so that's answered a lot of questions, I think, about the development of writing, specifically the development of the alphabet over the course of time.
So is that changing our understanding of literacy in the biblical period?
Well, what is literacy that you want 70% of the population to know how to read and write? It's possible that only a few percent that knew how to read and write, but they gave it from one generation to the other. If you look at all these 800 years of what we call Canaanite script or proto-Canaanite script, the parallel terms more or less, in all these 800 years, you don't have even one complete sentence. So our one is not just the oldest. It's the only one where you have Canaanite sentence in the southern Levant.
And you have the whole syntax of the sentence. You have the verb, you have the subject, and you have two objects. That's just remarkable to think that somebody took the time to write on a very, very tiny object, this sentence, this wish, you know, for this object to do its intended purpose. And so, yeah, I think it tells us something about literacy. You know, there's a lot of debate about literacy in Mesopotamia and Egypt over the different centuries. I've done a lot of work in Egyptology and in Egyptian, and most scholars will say maybe 1, maybe 2, maybe 3% of the population of Egypt at any given time were literate. And yet we have these monumental inscriptions all over Egypt on temples. We don't have that kind of architecture in Israel that would have been preserved, or Canaan. We have a comb now that cannot deteriorate very easily. The ivory doesn't deteriorate very easily. But what other means did they have to write on? We have pottery, of course, ostraca. We have different things like that. But yeah, this brings us further back in time. If somebody can write a sentence as common as something about removing lice, it makes us wonder whether they couldn't also write other more sophisticated things at that time.
Well, this coming Sunday, I begin a Bible study on the Psalms at our church. And we have Psalms from David, even Moses. Does our understanding of the development of writing permit us to say, yes, David and Moses could have written these Psalms?
That's a good question. The oldest verse that we have is on the Ketuv Hinnom inscription, which dates to the 7th century, which is much, much later. Of course, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls much, much later than that. I think what we can say at least is that there were people writing. We have no more information about writing now than we have before. Who wrote these things is difficult to say. But I would say, you know, with Kirbet Kayafa, with the two inscriptions we have there, we have Eshba'al at Kirbet Kayafa. And Eshba'al is the same name as the name that we have in the Bible referencing one of Saul's sons, one of the princes of Israel, who was actually king, a rival king during the early reign of David. And although our Eshba'al is not that Eshba'al, it's very interesting to look at that. So I think this gives us clues that writing was possible much earlier. And yes, I mean, in the time of David, you have a kingdom already and you have writing. It's important.
For those who have just joined us, we're talking with Michael Hassel of Southern Adventist University and Joseph Garfinkel of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem about the discovery of an ivory comb in 2016 that contained the earliest complete sentence of alphabetical writing that has given us new information about the development of the alphabet. So you have been working at Lachish and Kirbet El Rai for a number of years now. What is the plan for the future for these two excavations? Are you continuing to work there?
First of all, we need to publish what we already excavated. This is very important. And I think that the young generation would like to continue at Lachish and go further down to the late bronze and maybe even to the middle bronze. And if they will excavate middle bronze levels and they will find inscription in clear context, this will give us better dating for the origin of the alphabet.
So there won't be an excavation at Lachish this summer, is what you're saying?
If we have or not, it depends on the political situation. Universities will not send students to a war zone. So if the ceasefire that we have now will last, and eventually there will be a political solution, so by summer we might have a dig.
So how important was the city of Lachish? You know, we've said it's the second most important city outside of Jerusalem. What does that mean?
But this is only in the Iron Age. When you have the Kingdom of Judah, the capital was Jerusalem, and Lachish was the second most important city. You can compare it to the situation today. You have Jerusalem as the political and religious center of Israel, but Tel Aviv is the economic center. In the same way, Lachish was the economic center of the Kingdom of Judah. But when you go further down to Canaanite Lachish, in Middle Bronze and Late Bronze, Lachish was a city-state. So there was a king in Lachish. And Lachish controlled the city and probably villages and small towns up to 10, 15, 20 kilometers around Lachish.
There's an interesting quote from an epigrapher that was published some years ago, I think in 2004, where he said, you know, the inscriptions that we have at places like Sirabit al-Khadim and at Wadi al-Khol, that these were simply the graffiti written by primitive people who were working in the mines or working in these places. I think what this comb does for us, though, is put a different perspective on things. We have it found at a very monumental Canaanite city, a city that is huge, and we know from archaeological work and looking at various periods that this was an urban Renaissance time in the territory, and a lot of innovations happened during this time. And we have some of the most sophisticated pottery in the history of pottery typology during this time. A lot of things happened And this was kind of an urban renaissance. So we're not finding this in some desert outlying place someplace. This is in the center of civilization in a very important place. Also, the object, it's made out of ivory. This is a luxury item. It took considerable effort to procure this, maybe from an elephant in Africa, or we don't know, maybe Syria or somewhere where that elephant had to be killed, and where that ivory had to be harvested, and where it had to be carved and made into a luxury item. And ivory is still a luxury item today after all these years. And then we have this sentence on the ivory comb. So all of these things indicate to us that this is a game changer. We have a sentence now, not a word here and there, a clear syntactical sentence with all of these elements in it, found at one of the most prominent Canaanite sites in the territory of Canaan. That tells us something more, I think, about literacy and about the ability to write these things. And if a person can do that then, this would have been, however you date Moses, 200 or 300 years before Moses, 300, 400 years before Moses. If somebody can do that then, it gives us some probability for other things down the road. And the alphabet was the great revolution in communication and in writing. I mean, before that, you had hieroglyphics, you had cuneiform. It was very complex writing systems. But now you have a simplified writing system that is still used by 75% of the world's population today.
So when I first talked to you, Yossi, in 2008, we were talking about Kerbet Kayafa. Is anything more happening there, or is that a closed book now?
First of all, we managed to organize it, Kerbet Kayafa, and 5,000 dunam around it, 500 hectares, has been declared as a national park. Two neighborhoods has been canceled. 1,300 apartments will not be built around Kayafa, and the whole area is now a national park. So this is a very important development in this region.
Well, that's what archaeology does, gives us a new context, and it's great to have a symposium like this. Were there any questions raised at this symposium that shed a new light on this discovery?
Well, we had great speakers here. We kind of wanted to trace, as I said, the whole history of the discovery of the comb. And we had several hundred people that came, and it was wonderful to pull together scholars from Israel and from this country and talk about this. This always reminds me that, when you're digging a huge site like Lachish, it's very humbling to find such a tiny object that you're not really looking for, that you're not expecting to find, and yet there it is. And it just reminds us that when we do excavation, we need to do more because we don't know what else is out there, and there's got to be more information that we can find. And so that brings us back to the importance of archaeology and the importance of scientific research, which will give us more data to compare with and to understand the world around us.
Well, that's a great way to close our program. My thanks to Michael Hassel of Southern Adventist University and Joseph Garfinkel of Hebrew University in Jerusalem for joining me on the program today. I'd like to remind our listeners we have more resources on our website at radioscribe.com, including breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority and the information on our biblical archaeology news magazine, Artifacts, at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Gobier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.